And so I'm turning the rest of the service over to you, and that gives you about an hour, or no, gives you about 50 minutes. Is that long enough? All right. Come to it and do it, brother. Be sure you introduce all the munchkins.
All right, so our dear friend Nancy has worked with our children in piano and my wife and has a huge part of our testimony. So our kids, we have Gracie. Now, these are the four that are going with us. We have nine children total, eight of who are adopted out of the foster care system. So these are the younger four. We have the rest of our other five are 18 and over, so they will not be joining us down there. And so we have Gracie, we have Joseph. So Gracie's 13, Joseph is 11, right? 11,
yep.
And then Olivia is 9, and then Lily is 7. So we were down at ABWE, they are our mission board. And we went to a training. My wife and I went to a training, and our kids got on the bus and went to another church to be trained in certain things that they were working on. So it was probably, what, a month after we got back from the training, we were doing something, and our two youngest here started rattling off a few verses. And so we've added that to our presentation. So they are going to show you guys. She's so excited. They're gonna present to you guys what they learned at their training. While we were getting trained, they're getting trained also, and so they learned this in a week. So go ahead, girls.
Oh Lord, you are thirsty and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You can see my back from afar. You deserve my going out and my lying down. You saw a word of my tongue. You know completely, oh Lord. You came in behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. And scholars is too wonderful for me. Too lofty for me to obtain. Where can I go from this fear? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there, you are there. If I lay my son to death, oh, why don't I never go?
All right. So they have enjoyed adding that to our presentation and really been a blessing to us. And I don't know how they learn all that. My mind struggles to hold on to all that. I need mine written down, you know, but it works. So we are so thankful for, I was looking at a calendar today because I was thinking, okay, I'm coming to Port Crane. When was the last time we spoke here? And it was back in October 25th, 2015 is when we were here. So you guys, we are so thankful for your support over the years while we have been on Prefield. We are excited to tell you that we are 97% supported, and we will be leaving in August for language school. We have two churches voting here in the next few weeks. With those two churches, we're estimating that we will be at 100%, our minimum amount requirement needed to go to the field. So we have been in 51 churches over the past 2.5 years, and we have 24 of those churches support. Well, if these two churches come on, it will be 24 churches make up our support base, along with 70 individuals. So all those churches have been 3.5 hours from our home. So we don't have to travel around the U.S. to come when we come back on furlough. So we're so very thankful for that. Before we get too far tonight, we wanted to ask you, we were just sitting down in the pew, and we were sitting there, and we we felt the Lord kind of nudging us in a different direction. Now, I want to ask you guys, do you guys want to hear more about Nicaragua? Or do you want to hear more about our testimony? Because I see a lot of unfamiliar faces. So I'm going to give you the option, and you guys can just yell out testimony or more about Nicaragua, and we will shift gears and go either way, whatever you guys want. Both. Let's see, how much time do we have? What was that? You, okay, all right. Well,
why don't we fly through the Nicaragua stuff real quick, and then we'll jump into our...
Okay, all right. Okay, so we'll hit Nicaragua real
quick.
Yeah, it's... What's here?
It was right here. Oh, here it is.
Okay.
I found it. What's lost has been found.
All right, so... Okay, this is my wife, Rachel. I guess I introduced all my kids, right? And I didn't even introduce my wife.
I'm just listening to the crowd, honey. Just listening to the crowd.
Well, that's very good. Thank you for your support there. Because I have a funny story to share. We were taking our oral exam, okay, for ABWE, we had to take an oral exam to be accepted to be missionaries. And we were taking our oral exam, and the representative from ABWE is sitting across from the table from us, and our pastor, Pastor Brian King. And I'm all geared up. I'm like, okay, he's going to ask me questions about the Bible. I'm all ready. I'm like, okay, here we go. And he says, okay, we're on to the angel part. And he says, Chad, have you ever seen an angel? And I'm saying, oh, man. Do I say yes? Do I say no? Are angels real? It's all going through my head, you know. And he's sitting there, he kind of smiles at me. And he says, I'm throwing you a softball here. And I'm like, man, I'm thinking of a Bible response. And he says, okay. He says, look to your left. You've seen an angel before, right? You know, and he said, my wife is sitting to my left, you know? So he was asking me, and I'm all geared up for a Bible question, and he's asking me if I've ever seen an angel. And yes, I see an angel every morning when I wake up.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
We better get back to the presentation.
She said, stick to the script. Oh, so anyway, we passed our oral exam. Even after failing that question, we did pass. And so we started our deputation process. And I think I heard Dan say that this lady here, you guys were her first supporting church. Well, I think you're one of our first supporting churches. So you guys are a lot of first here, along with First Baptist Church, right? You know, so it's exciting. And like I said, I'm so thankful for your support over the years. And your Christmas gifts. There is always a little extra at the beginning of the year that we always see come into our account. And we are so blessed by that. So we have logged over 300 hours of training down at Harrisburg. I forgot our rest of our family, didn't I? I'm skipping ahead. So we have a picture of the Harrisburg campus, our ABWE campus. But I'm going to jump, since the slide shows my daughter. That's our oldest daughter, Shauna. And we only had two grandchildren when we were here, and now we have three. So that's our daughter, Shauna, and her husband, Kyle, and our three grandkids. And they serve faithfully at First Baptist Church down in Perkasie, Pennsylvania. Wesley, he's actually working on a plane as we speak. A couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So he is up to Green Airport right now, and they are working. There's another gentleman, Joe Gerwig from Kingdom Air Corps, and something popped into my mind about Dwayne. We were just at his wedding yesterday. So, but anyway, so Wesley and Joe are working on a plane up in Green that has been donated to Kingdom Air Corps, and Joe and his wife are staying with us, and they're going to fly this plane back to Alaska when they get it running after it's been sitting for 6 years. So be praying for that. Yes.
Oh,
nice. Matt, okay. Hey, I didn't even see you come in.
Thank you.
So, anyway, so they're up there working on that plane now, and is it some relation, Matt, or just somebody? Okay, all right. Okay, so you've seen Wesley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so anyway, they're up there working that plane, and our mission board is ABWE, which stands for the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. We have over 90 years of they have over 90 years of experience, and we have 1,000 missionaries in 75 different countries. We just had to update that. When we started, it was 70 countries, and we've opened 5 countries since we've been on deputation. So ABWE exists to share the story of hope, build communities of faith, and serve the world with love. So there is the headquarters. That is down in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And like I said, we've logged over 300 hours each in Bible classes and training. ABWE is preparing us well for the mission field, and we are so thankful for our mission board. We are headed to, you want to say it?
The Ring of Fire.
The Ring of Fire. Mm-hmm. Nicaragua is in the Ring of Fire. As you can see, the little arrow there. I forgot our map tonight. We usually have a map that sits on our table that you can actually see where we'll be serving in Nicaragua. We will be in the capital city. If you see it there in the middle, it's got the star with the circle on it, Managua. That's where we will be serving. So we like to go around and invite churches to come down and join us in the Ring of Fire. There's a lot of there's 19 active volcanoes mm-hmm. in Nicaragua.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be exciting. So if you guys come down as a church, we can possibly go to glory together, or, you know, I don't know how that works. But anyway, it's going to be exciting. So ABWE was able to purchase a 162-acre piece of property down there back almost 15 years ago now. And there was a man that had a vision down there. He is no longer serving on the field. He had to come home due to health reasons probably a few years after he bought the property. So we have 162 acres for our ministry center. So we are getting it set up. We have some buildings. We have cabins built. Oh, where did our... Okay. All right. So we have some dorms for kids to stay. We have weekly camps that's going on now on our facility. We have a dining hall, a cafeteria for the kids to eat in, and we do marriage retreats for our church planning pastors. We have 2 soccer fields. We have 2 baseball fields. We have a pool. We have an open-air facility, a gym, open-air. So this has all been money raised from the U.S. And we have a wonderful facility down there to work with the kids, to help our kids from our church plants have a place to go for camp. So that has been very good. But the main heart of our ministry center is the Institute for Church Planters. We are training local Nicaraguan men to be pastors of our church plants. We don't go down there. We're not the pastor of the church down there. So these are some young boys playing baseball. What we do at our ministry centers, we're training these pastors. We help them get into a neighborhood and help them do a survey and see what the neighborhood wants for a church or what the needs are in the neighborhood. And we help them get a Bible study started in that neighborhood. Then we put them through a 2-year program to train them to be pastors. Some of our pastors went to Word of Life, Argentina. We don't train every single one of our church plant pastors, but we start praying for a church plant pastor. And as they go through these training courses and do this Bible study, when they graduate, they already have a church started. So it's exciting to see We'll show you some pictures a little later on of a church plant. They just got a building. CWE went down and built a building for us in our church plant, our newest church plant. But we have the farming ministry on our facility as well. We're trying to help the center, the ministry center, become self-sufficient. Right now, we still rely on U.S. money, and we want them to be self-sufficient with selling crops. These are plantains. Plantain is a main staple for food down there for the Nicaraguans. So we're trying to help our pastors become vocational pastors because it's very poor there. It's a third world country. It's second to Haiti in the Western Hemisphere. So it is very poor. So these pastors don't have, either they're going to work or they can be a pastor. So we're trying to help them be more self-sufficient. So they can be a pastor and have some income coming in, which we'll share more about our chicken ministry. So here's a picture of the classroom going on. We do have, right now, the Institute for Church Planter, we have a Nicaraguan leader and we have a U.S. missionary leader. So right now they work together to train these pastors, and slowly the Nicaraguans are taking over, and we're hoping they will be able to take over the whole Institute for Church Planters, because if we were ever asked to leave, everything would stay running. That's what we want. We want the money that has been spent by the churches here to be well used and be able to sustain itself when we ever asked to leave, or even if we're there. We want it to be self-sustaining, not relying on the U.S. churches.
While we were there 3 years ago in May, we got to visit one of the church. We visited several church plants, but this is one. This is in La Concha. It's a mountainous region, and most of the people walk here. And when we were there, we met under the sky. They meet under a tarp when it's hot, if it's really sunny, or if it's raining in the rainy season. And since we've been there, they put up a building. So these are all things that you guys as a church can send a team down to do. We're going to just fly through a whole bunch of stuff. Because when people ask us, what are you going to do? We're like, we have thoughts, but the Lord, His ways are not our ways. And so look at all there is to do. There is something for everybody. A team came down from the U.S. and put up a building for this church plant. And so it just comes along slowly, and it is very... simple building, simple construction with a shovel and a pickaxe, and not a lot of heavy machinery, but this is the ultimate outcome.
There's no concrete plant or concrete truck there, so that gentleman was sifting sand for the concrete to be mixed by hand. So
this particular church plant has ABWE's first Awana program. I don't know if you guys have Awana here, but these are things that you can do. A church here from... remember Marilla, went out to build this outdoor play area. So they have this flat paved, I guess you would call it.
Yeah, it's a concrete slab.
Concrete
they were
slab.
Able to, it looks like there they have it in chalk, but I think another picture they did paint the Iwana circle on the slab.
So if there's something that your church is interested in doing, children's ministry, this is like a church plant that you could go to, and literally hundreds of children would come out. You have access to the outdoor facility. They have an Awana program. We have an Awana program at our church, and theirs is just like ours. The kids meet. They practice the Awana games. They do their Bible memorization. They memorize their verses, and they have their class time. They sing songs. They do things just like we do here in the States, and they have all different grades and ages of the students, and they're just like this. They just pull at your heartstrings with their big smiles and their big hearts.
So the chicken ministry I mentioned before, we try to raise money to buy chickens, and then we go deliver them in the neighborhoods, the poorer neighborhoods of Nicaragua. And so this is one of our fellow missionaries delivering chickens. This is a church out in Troy, Pennsylvania, put together these chicken, they call them chicken trailers or chicken wagons, I can't remember, but they store the chickens in there, and they can be moved around, so the chickens can be in there, and they will raise these chickens and either use the eggs, or you'll see they start processing the chickens. Now, it's kind of neat. I'm going out in June. We do have this church also in Troy has all the facilities to do this chicken harvesting set up down there at our camp. I didn't see it work yet, but I'm going out there to make this process a little quicker for them.
All the young guys in here are like, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Chicken slaughter. chicken harvesting.
Yeah, chicken harvesting they call it. So anyway, so this helps them put food on the table and protein. And so this is what we hope to be a part of, and just helping them to grow and be able to be self-sufficient and not have to rely on U.S. money to provide for their food. We have... that is the inside of someone's house. And they had a team come down from the States, a bunch of teenagers, and they wrapped that house with plastic. And they were so thankful. These Nicaraguans were so thankful just for a piece of plastic. And so there's opportunities. We're just flying by some opportunities. So you guys can be thinking of it as a church. Because in August 2019, we have to go to a year language school to learn Spanish. But in August 2019, we are going to be hitting the field in Nicaragua. And we are going to be calling our churches and trying to encourage church visitation. Bring a couple kids down, bring a couple adults, and come down. And be. We want you guys to be part of our ministry that the Lord has called us to. And it's gonna be exciting, so...
Gracie, our oldest daughter that's home right now, we had the opportunity last month, actually I don't know what month we're in, April, so we went in March, yes ma'am, yes sir, in March, last month I took Gracie down because she's getting older and she was really questioning our move, not that she was having doubts at all, but she was wondering what it was all about, and so our mission board counseled us and said, you know what, why don't you take her down for a visit? And it didn't take much to twist my arm. And just Gracie and I went. And we got to go to Rayitos, which is another church plant. It is a feeding ministry in this type of a neighborhood. It's a typical Nicaraguan neighborhood. And when Chad and I had gone down 3 years ago, it had no roof. They had put up some walls. And the front of the church building was getting a gate and being constructed. And now this is what it looked like when we were there. The walls were up, and they actually, on the other side of this building, have constructed a whole other set of buildings with classrooms. And we got to feed the kids when we were down there. We prepared a meal, and the kids will hear a Bible story. They will learn a verse. The missionary will write it on the whiteboard and then erase one word at a time, and the children learn the verse. They sing songs, much like we do here for any kind of children's ministry. So this day we spent our morning in the store buying all of the groceries necessary to put on the meal. The little kids come with their plastic bowls and their cups. And I know Gracie said we need to get some silverware at the feeding ministry because the children just eat with their hands. And she was a little taken back by that. So the kids line up, and we just feed them, and they look like this. I mean, we want to share the gospel with them so their insides can be forever made new, their hearts and their minds. And but it's little kids like this, when you go down, you have the opportunity to really pour into them in compassion ministries, you know, helping them with humanitarian efforts while sharing the gospel and the love of Christ. This was Gracie. These are three of my favorite pictures. When we went down there, she just absolutely fell in love with the ministry of Rayitos, which means little rays of light. And this feeding ministry feeds the children 4 days a week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it is run by Pastor Valeriano, who is a Nicaraguan national. And this is at the church plant where we met Tanya, and Chad will tell you a little bit about her.
So 3 years ago, when we went down to visit on our vision trip, we met this young girl, and she came into the feeding center, and I just spent some time playing that with that ball there with her, and just the smile. You know, it was my first time visiting a third world country, And I saw her kind of coming in, and I'm like, oh, she doesn't look like a third world child, you know. She has decent clothes, but when she got closer, those pants are about two sizes too small. They're held up by a shoestring, you know, and her shirt is too big and has holes in it from I don't know what kind of burns, whether it sat by the fire or something and sparks or, excuse me. But anyway, so I spent some time with Tanya, and as we were leaving, she stayed for the whole time we were there at the feeding ministry. And as we were driving away, she chased us down the road, you know, for about two blocks, just running and smiling, see you tomorrow, you know. And I was having a conversation with the missionaries that help this feeding ministry that evening while we were eating dinner. And they told me that she is an orphan. And there is a huge problem in Nicaragua right now is that a man and woman will marry or not marry, but they'll get together and they'll have kids. Well, if one of the, say the man leaves and another man moves into the house, he kicks out the kids that were from another father. So we have a lot of children on the streets. And I just really pray that with my wife and I's experience with our adopted children, that we can help speak into the hearts of the men and women of Nicaragua that a child is a child of God, regardless of where or who they came from, you know. So we just pray that the Lord is going to use us in this way because we have been so blessed, and we know that there are other people that will be blessed by these orphans. And
go ahead. When we came back from our vision trip and we started on our Pickhill ministry experience, journey, adventure, we put Tanya on our prayer card, and our family prayed for her for years. And Gracie and I, when we were down there at the feeding ministry, Tanya came in, and Gracie recognized her immediately. And so it was super special for them to be together. They spent a lot of time talking. Gracie speaks a little bit of Spanish. And a lot of teams come down from the States, and Tanya meets Americans quite often. And she said to Gracie, they were talking, and she said, well, I want to be your friend forever. And Gracie said, well, I'm moving here. And Tanya was like, oh my goodness, I'll be able to see you again. So it was really great for Tanya and Gracie to meet, because Gracie's coming back. So our family has prayed for her, and it was just such a neat thing to see her down there. So we have, we put at the end of our presentation here some tour day options. So when you come down, you will slave away. You will work really hard in the hot, brutal sun or the hot, brutal rain. But there will also be a little bit of adventure that you'll be able to maybe go for one day and see the country of Nicaragua. So we wanted to just give you a little taste of that. There is zip lining that can happen. Gracie and I did. I was not intending on going. But my daughter ended up being, she was supposed to be the only one going. So I said, well, I will go. I guess if she dies, I'll go with her. So the little boy that was with us ended up going, I guess because we were brave, and he decided to be brave too. So there is zip lining that you can do. Now, we went in the rainforest, but I guess you can go over an active volcano. We did not choose to do that.
No, it was a volcano lagoon.
Oh, a volcano lagoon.
Yes, it's not an active volcano.
I'm sorry. In my mind, it was an active volcano.
In my mind, it is too. When you say volcano, you know, they say a volcano. When they say a volcano down there, there is a spot that either the mountaintop was blown off from the volcano erupting, and there's... When that happens, there is a sinkhole, and that usually fills with water. So every volcano has a lagoon. So I guess there, at the volcano that we visited, and we have a picture of it here, that there is the volcano. Okay, so that is an active volcano. But as you're standing there, there is a ridge, like it could be miles away, that is where the ground is just dropped down. So they call that whole area a volcano. Now, that is lava. You can see that red glow down in there. That is lava you can see churning up in that volcano.
So this is something that you can, when you come, you can go to the active volcano and see. It's very interesting. When Chad and I went, we were able to actually hike around up there. when Gracie and I went, we were only allowed to stay 6 minutes. Because of the gases that were in the air, we were only allowed to stay a very limited amount of time. But after you get done working, not before, you can go volcano boarding.
How many people like to sleigh ride in here or snowboard? Or, well, there's a few. All right. Well, we can actually do that, but we don't need snow. We just need volcanic ash. So you'll see the picture here. They're hiking up the side of the volcano. Well, I'm sorry, I'm pointing. There's the top of the volcano. This is not a too active volcano. It has been active at some point because there's still ash there. And you can go down that hill.
We did not do that. Nor will I ever be doing that, I don't think. But you are welcome to come down and try volcano boarding. That is our missionary, our teammate, Tracy Warner. And this is what she looked like when she got done. And she's brave. She's brave. Can't wait to serve with her.
So I mentioned a little bit the newest church plant. The newest church plant down there started in a missionary's house. And this is Irena Doyle, and that was her house every Sunday. She would clean her house and set up chairs, and that's how they started. And that gentleman right there is a pastor that came back and was called to pastor this church. And he graduated from Word of Life Argentina. So he is on fire for the Lord, and that's the church now. They were able to buy some property, and they had a tent for a while. And next picture there, they're starting to build the church. There's their cement mixer. CWE came down and sped up the process, and in 4 weeks they put up a building. So now we have a new church down there, and I'm sure that they're going to say, I wish we built it bigger, because they will probably be bursting at the seams soon. So there it is, a finished product, 4 weeks. CWE came down with teams from the U.S. and built that church. So that was exciting to watch be built. So that's a quick rundown of Nicaragua. At the end, we will open up for questions about anything you want to ask about Prefield or Nicaragua, and we're going to jump into our testimony and share with you how we got to that point of going to Nicaragua. And I love it that you're here, Nancy. It's exciting to have you here again. She was visiting another church that we were able to present at, too, so she's heard this before. But it began with me, actually, being born in a small town called Deposit, just over the hill. I know some of you have probably heard of Deposit. I hope so. Yeah, you have. Of course you have. I grew up in Deposit, and I attended church occasionally. I had a loving family, and I have two siblings, an older sister and a younger brother. I attended Windsor Bible Church in the Awana program a little bit, not a whole lot. I knew who God was. I knew about the Bible, but I did not. It's funny. I had a conversation with my dad not too long ago, and he heard our presentation, and he said, "Well, how could you say that the something about going to church and stuff?" And I said, "Well, our Bible was never really taught in that house, you know, and I never saw it except on Sunday. You know, the Bible would come out when we would go to church." You know, so he was like, "Oh, okay, I understand now." But I never had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew about him. I called myself a Christian. But I never had that personal relationship. And I lived my life and going along with whatever the world was doing, whatever was popular, whatever my friends were doing, I was doing it. There was a prayer request in here, right, about your kids. Was it you that was mentioning your kids comparing the Bible to the world views? You know, I was going along with the world. Which, when we start reading God's Word, we understand that it's not. We are in the world, but we are not of the world, right? So, it led my life down a road of, you know, poor choices. I was, you know, successful. I graduated college. Successful in my eyes. Graduated college, came back, and I met my wife in a bar. And she is a huge part of my testimony from this point. So she's going to take over and share.
I grew up in Whitney Point. I don't know anybody know where Whitney Point is. Any Whitney Point? Yeah, I got a lot of nods. Look at even a little giggle. So yeah, we have a little competition. It's like who knows Deposit. We can be like 3 hours away, and people like, oh, I know Whitney Point. You hear crickets at Deposit.
I haven't done well in that competition at all. So.
Oh my goodness. I spent my first 8 years of my school life in Conklin, New York. And when I was 12 years old, I moved to Whitney Point. I was in eighth grade. And I had been there about 2 weeks, and I got invited to a birthday party. And who doesn't want friends? So I was super excited to be going to this girl's birthday party. So my parents took me there and dropped me off. And I remember going out back, and there was a ton of kids. There was an in-ground pool. It was just a really nice house. And her parents were there, and they were manning the keg of beer. And so this would be my first experience with partying. I didn't participate that night in the alcohol and drug abuse that was taking place, but it would definitely be the catalyst that would propel me into my high school career of partying. And when I was a senior in high school, I auditioned for the community musical in Whitney Point. It happens every 2 years. It's like this huge deal. And I ended up landing the lead role. And no high school student had ever done that. It was just the old people. They were all like 40-something. I remember being a teenager at 17, and everybody in the play with me was 40-something. And I couldn't play sports. I couldn't work because I had to rehearse for the show every night. But I did have time for one thing, and that was my boyfriend. And I would end up getting pregnant. And so when I told my parents, and I told the father of the child, my parents were just beside themselves. They didn't know what to do. How was I was on the front page of the newspaper of our town because I was the first high school student to ever land the lead role. So how was I going to be Annie and Annie Get Your Gun pregnant? And the father of the child didn't want the child. And so it was decided that I would go and terminate the pregnancy. And so that's what I did. My mom drove me to a clinic in Vestal, and I asked her if she was going to come in. And she said, no, you got yourself into this mess. You need to get yourself out. I didn't know anybody in my high school that knew the Lord. I knew all 208 students, and no one that I knew ever talked about Jesus. No one I knew ever went to church. We all partied. It is so common. There were no picketers to tell me about life, the value of life. I was alone walking in and I was alone walking out. And so that would be my life. Just I went into adulthood just doing, like Chad said, everything that I thought was right, doing what my friends were doing. And so I would end up married. I had my son Wesley, who's now a missionary pilot with Kingdom Air Corps. And I would be divorced. I was in an adulterous relationship and ended up divorced after 2.5 years. And my parents, who had been married for 25 years, ended up divorced that very same week that I left my husband. And so my life just became a place of shame and fear and regret. And so every weekend I didn't have my son, I was at the bar. And it was there that I met Chad, and we just hooked up shortly thereafter and were married within 2 years, and our life began again. My life began, my relationships began again with just this baggage that I dragged along behind me. And I worked at a mortgage office. I was working in a factory, and I ended up going to this mortgage office, and I worked there for 4 years. And every day, this FedEx man would come in the office, and he would pick up and deliver packages. And I knew he was a Christian. He was just super weird. Everything, you know, he would just say things and do things. He homeschooled his kids.
And I would always ask him, I would say, where do you go to church? And he would never, ever, never, ever tell me. He would always say to me, it's not about a church, Rachel. It's about a relationship. And he used to just irk me because he would never tell me where he went to church. And I, every day, would come in and I would just hear him and he would say things. And one day he was getting ready to leave the office and he peeked in back and looked at me and he said to me, Rachel, how do you know you're going to get to heaven? And I tell you, it really made me angry. I said to him, I'm a good person. I justified myself. I justified why I would be able to go to heaven. Because I knew the opposite of heaven was certainly hell. I hadn't been churched very much. My mom's entire family is Catholic. Most of them practicing. My mother was not a practicing Catholic. My dad's entire family was Mormon. My father wasn't practicing Mormonism, but a lot of his family was. And then during the summer, I would go to a Baptist little white church, the VBS, in 6th and 7th grade. And I'd hear verses. I remember that. So I didn't know anything about church, but I knew enough about heaven and hell to know that he was telling me I was going to go to hell. And so it really made me angry. And so again, I said to him, you know, I justified myself. And he said to me, it's not about that. It's about a relationship. And he walked out, and I remember, I got to get me a Bible because I got to read it. And I got to set Mr. Dude straight because I am certainly going to go to heaven. So that's what I did. I went and got a Bible. And Chad and I had decided after 9/11 that we really didn't want to be part of any organized religion at all because it was just the root of all evil in the world. And so here I am reading this Bible. And I just started in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. And I saw David and Bathsheba. And I saw the Assyrians coming against Israel. And God just takes them all out, you know, 185,000, and there's just all these stories, and I start sharing with Chad, and he would call home, because he worked out of town, and we just really began talking about the Bible, and one day I said to him, I said, I really would like to go to church. I think we should go to church. We should be religious. And I really want to learn how to play piano. And so he said, well, get a piano and let's start going to churches. So we did. I bought myself a piano and I asked some friends of mine about a piano teacher. And they referred me to this woman, Nancy Wellman. And I didn't know her. And she came to my house and she came in and I found out that she played at the Hancock Baptist Church. She played the organ. And I thought, well, that's cool because I'm reading the Bible too. And here's this religious lady just like me. And we sat down at the piano bench. And I'll never forget the very first thing she wrote in my notebook was John 3:16. Just the reference. She didn't read it to me. She didn't tell it to me. She just said, I think you should read this verse. And so my piano lessons became 30 minutes of piano, and then 2 hours or more talking about the Lord. And we started going to different churches. No denomination was safe. Like, we went to a Catholic church, went to a Methodist. We just went everywhere because...
We didn't know about denomination.
We didn't know about denominations.
What's going on? You know, we just went to a church.
Yeah, we just wanted to be religious. So I was looking for a choir to sing in, and Nancy never chastised me, And one day she found out we were church hopping, and she said, well, I really think you would like the pastor right down here at West Windsor Baptist Church. It's 5 miles away, Pastor Rex Baker. And
you
so
know who he is, right?
And so we started going there, and Pastor would just preach from the Word of God. He would open up the Bible, and he would preach. And you ever be at church? And you're sitting there, and you're like, how does this dude know what I did this week? You know? God's word, it just infiltrates your mind and your heart. And he would do this thing. He would say, now, he would get done preaching, and you'd be like, wow, the word of God says that? And And he would say, now with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, raise your hand if I can pray for you. And so I started kind of like this, saying, I think I need prayer. I think, oh, I heard that, and I think I need prayer about that. Eventually, I just raised my hand up high, and then I know I speak Christianese now, so I understand that I was given an invitation, and I went forward. I walked forward, and I went with a gal from our church into a side room, and I heard the gospel through the Romans Road, and I heard it, and I understood it, and I was not saved. And so our associate pastor came home to our house. Every week he would come to our house and do a Bible study. And praise the Lord. And I don't know what I asked him one day, but he said to me, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and he will guard your heart and mind in a way that just surpasses all understanding in Christ Jesus. And he went on to describe to me what this guard was, and that it was a garrison of 3,000 to 60,000 soldiers that would guard my heart and my mind. In the work that Christ did on the cross through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And I knew after hearing the gospel that I needed a Savior, and that I could take my heart and my mind to him, and that I could be saved. And what I need you to know is that the people in my life, they didn't leave me a track. They didn't invite me to church. They didn't, Nancy, send us to church. But she loved me first. And the FedEx man just loved me first. And Matthew 5:14-16 says, you are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And that's just exactly what they did for me. And I was saved in my living room. I accepted Christ in September of 2004. And Chad was the very same way in October 2004. And our lives were going to radically begin to change.
Yeah, I was a little slower, but I came around. You know, I got there eventually. So we were newly saved, and we were heading to my cousin's wedding. And mind you, we met in the bar. We like to drink. We like to go have fun at a party. So we're driving in the car, and my wife looks at me, and she goes, are we drinking at this wedding? And I looked at her, and I looked back at the road, because I didn't want to crash on the way there. But I just remember, you know, my wife likes to explain what Pastor Baker did to us. We would ask a question.
Oh, let me do it.
Yeah, I know. You do it best. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. He just used to annoy me because at first he would come over and he would answer all my questions. And you can imagine that I had a lot of questions. And I would ask him something. I'd say, Pastor, do I need to quit drinking, smoking? Where's your to-do list? I can imagine that you have one. Don't shine. And he would just look at me. And poor man. He would open up his Bible and he'd say, let me just share with you, Rachel, from the Word of God. And he would read me something. And I remember saying to him, I'm like, do you not know the answer? And he would say, just let me read this to you. And it is the Word of God that transforms our lives. He knew what I should do because he knew the Word of God. And he knew that God wanted the best for me. And he gave me the Word of God so that I might, Psalm 119:11, hide it in my heart so that I might not sin against thee.
We'll rewind to my story. Anyway, oh, we like to have fun. I hope you guys like to have fun. All right. So we were on the way to this wedding, and all we could think about was, okay, we need to make a decision here. This is where the rubber meets the road.
Pastor Baker shared with us, 1 Peter 3:15. It says, "But sanctify Christ as the Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." And I'm thinking, I can't do that if I'm under the influence of alcohol. So there, the Word of God convicted us of things in our life that we need to change. When we were saved, right, the Bible tells us that when we are saved, the Holy Spirit indwells us. And I've been spending a lot of time in Galatians. And Galatians 5 tells us, 5:17. Galatians 5:17, 5:16 tells us, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." I am so thankful for the Holy Spirit coming in my heart to help me change my life so that I can live a better life for Christ. God's Word changes lives. When you read it, if we believe the Bible to be true, which Timothy tells us it is, right? The Bible is inspired by God. If we believe it to be truth, black and white, it's there. There are so many things I don't understand. There are so many things we don't understand. But there are things that are clear. And again, I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit is to help me fight my fleshly desires. Because our fleshly desire wants to devour each other, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, look what Bob is doing over there. Oh, look what the, you know, we want to do that. We want to tear each other apart as a church. We want to tear each other apart out on the street. But God's Word, when we read it, and I find that if I don't get up and read my Bible and get into God's Word first thing in the morning, my life doesn't go as well. I say this right. My life goes better when I'm into the Word of God and my mind is focused on His Word, as opposed to getting up and not looking at the Word of God and thinking, okay, what do I have to do today? My mind is thinking on earthly things and not of things above. Mm-hmm. If there's anyone in here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior and ask Him to come into their heart, I encourage you to do that before you leave. We live in a crazy world. Anything can happen when we walk out those doors. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to go to heaven? Does that Holy Spirit live in your life so that you can make the changes that you need to make in your life to walk and be Christ-like as humanly possible? I'm sure there are many leaders in this church that would sit down and talk with you and explain that more in depth and help you understand that. There's a baptism class coming, when's the baptism?
Next Sunday night.
Praise the Lord. Who are the people? Was the young man? I met a young man in here. Was he? Oh, okay. No. The other young man that was there. I didn't see you at the table. I saw the other younger man sitting at the table. But praise the Lord, man. Praise the Lord. That is a big step. awesome. God's going to take you places that you may wonder, why did I do this? We're prepared to go to the mission field. I think of the day when I drove home, I was at the Men's Adventure, and it's when the Lord called me into ministry. And I'm driving home and I'm thinking, how am I going to tell my wife we're going to sell our house? And you know, the only thing I could think about was a hut in Africa. You know, I mean, that's all missionaries go to Africa, right? You know, so I'm thinking that. But I have a great job. I had a great job. I still have a beautiful house. But God is calling me to somewhere else. He may call you, young man. Oh, you never know. But our ministry, our mission field is right outside those doors. Regardless of what he's doing in your heart and life, was it the message this morning? I can't remember, Sunday school or something. Something this morning at that church just came to my mind about how, as we are going, we need to be going about discipleship. Who are we walking alongside as we are going? And our pastor, I won't go into the whole long story, but pastor had a neat analogy this morning. And he was talking about filling Yankee Stadium. I don't have all the details, but filling Yankee Stadium and everyone in that stadium would be saved. And then he was comparing it to if he took one gentleman and worked a year and discipled him. And then he discipled another person. In 30 years, those numbers from filling Yankee Stadium and all those members would be saved every day. In 30 years, correct me if I'm wrong here, 30 years, the one-on-one discipleship would catch up and surpass everyone getting saved in Yankee Stadium every day. It was like billions of people getting saved. But the discipleship and walking alongside another brother in Christ or a younger brother in Christ, you disciple him, they disciple someone else, and we start multiplying. And we start changing the world one by one and walking with the Lord.
I like to tell ladies when I have ladies' events and get the opportunity to speak to them that God wants us to serve him through the overflow. And so for us to serve him, we have to put so much of his word inside us that it's just flowing out. So as Chad's talking about going on about our daily lives and discipling those around us, like my FedEx man and my piano teacher, they just overfloweth with the love of God. They had so much of this inside them that it just came out. So when you're at the grocery store or you're at work or you're wherever, you should have so much of Jesus in you that it's just coming out. So it's just a sloppy mess all around. So when people come by and they almost slip, you know, because you have this big puddle, and they go, "What was that?" And you say, "Well, that's my Jesus all around there." And then you can tell them about your Jesus. It's not that we need to have the right words. It's just that we need to be different. We need to be a light so that they can see you shining in the darkness. Through our suffering, we endure. In our endurance, builds our character. It changes our character. It changes who we are. Our character is us. And that leads to hope, and hope is what we have to share with the world. They're looking for it. They're begging for it. In online things that they ought not to be viewing, in drugs and alcohol, our world is desperate for hope.
And we can share that hope. We can be that hope for them instead of them relying on things that will only last so long. And then they're going to be looking for the next hope. So we encourage you today. What was that? Okay, all right. So, in wrapping up here, you may be thinking, okay, what are they going to be doing in Nicaragua, and how are they going to be, and where they are in support and all that stuff. So we'll wrap up. We have, what was that? Oh, okay. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's a
Thank
good point.
Thank you, yes.
Because we have this grandiose idea, and we want prayer specifically that when we hit the ground of Nicaragua, that we are doing what he wants us to do and not what we want to do. You know, we have a lot of things, and we want to be involved, and but we want to make sure that he's involved first. God is at work in Nicaragua, and we're going down there to, he's got a purpose for us for something. And we are going down there, and we're going to find it with prayer. And, you know, we may try some things that, you know what, the Lord's not in it. And we'll go on to something else until we find what the Lord exactly wants for us. So, but our main goal right now is to go down and find Nicaraguan men. My wife, women, and me, men, and even families to come alongside and help them understand the Word of God. And how the Word of God can help them make changes in their life to make, I want to say things better. I don't think sometimes things can get better. I think that you can have the confidence that you are going to heaven when you pass from this life. Because I know our world was turned upside down when we were saved and we started really going into ministry. And, you know, we had a couple kids that are really struggled with life choices, deciphering the world for the Bible. And we have two that'll tell you today that, yeah, I know the Word of God. I know what it says. I'm just not choosing to follow it. And that's hard. That's hard. They know the Word of God, and they verbally say that to us. And it's hard, but we just keep loving them. You know, and an example... 2 years ago, I thought, you know what, and my wife likes to say, our fleshly desire wants to just go, get out of my life, leave me alone, you hurt me. Mm-hmm. And we help each other discuss, okay, when one of us is saying, no, we don't need to send that package for the birthday, we don't need to send this, we don't need to do that, but one of us balances out the other one, no, we have to. And I can tell you, if you have a situation like that, it's been 2 years of doing that, and they have come around mm-hmm. and said, thank you for loving me when I didn't deserve to be loved. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
it has been...
the Word of God once again.
You know, mm-hmm. and at the time, our fleshly desire wants to just make us angry, make us mad, and it has. And it has. But I can guarantee you, if you continue to love, and you continue to show support, it may be 30 years, but they will come around and realize God is stronger than we are.
So where are we at now? Yeah. We are almost 100% supported. We have 100% OMP. We've been there for months. We have almost 100% of our monthly support, and we are leaving in August. We have about 1,017,000,000 things to do before we leave. Currently, we have Kingdom Air Corps staff at our house, and I don't know how long they're going to be there. God, get this plane fixed and so that they can fly it out. So we are just super busy. We're finishing up our homeschooling year, and we have training at the end of this month. In 2 weeks, we'll be down in Harrisburg for our last 2 weeks of training. And then we'll be going to Alaska because our son is getting married. And we'll be going up there, and we're trying to sell our house and just all that comes along with that. I do want to share with you about my FedEx man. I had been saved for about 7 years, 7 years ago. And I wondered if my FedEx man still worked at that office, if he picked up and delivered. And I called the office to ask the girls there if he did, and he was still coming there. And so I asked the girls, would you have Dale Davis please call me? Which had to be super weird for him, because I still can't believe he called me, but he did. And I remember standing out in my front yard in my house, And the phone rang. I knew it was him, and I said, "Hey, Dale." And he was just like, "Yeah." And I said, "You asked me a question one time. You asked me, how was I going to get to heaven? And I said, Dale, I now know, because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross, that I'm going to heaven." And he just started bawling on the phone. We may never know the impact that we have on someone's life. We had the awesome privilege of meeting with him and his wife, Dorothy Davis. She writes women's Bible studies for RBP. And we went to present our ministry at his church. And he got up and he introduced us. And he said to his congregation, he said, "I thought she was beyond hope." And if you're feeling that way today, there is nothing that you could say or do that could separate you from the love of God. It is much like the woman at the well who came with her six husbands, or five husbands, or whatever the number is, left my brain. All that she had done, the Bible tells us, all that she had done, Christ knew and told her. And she ran back to the town, and she told her story. Period. That's it. She told her story. And the people came to Christ. And so if you're here with baggage today, I just would encourage you as a woman, if you're a woman here that you have baggage, you can come and see me afterwards. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, and I can tell you all about Him.
We have a, if you're not signed up, I know many of you probably are signed up for our newsletter. We have a monthly newsletter. Sometimes it's bi-monthly. Sometimes it's every other month. We try, all right? But anyway, there's a newsletter sign up if you're not there. If you don't get our newsletter, please sign up.
On Facebook, we do kind of keep up with the Facebook page better than we do our, well, we do pretty well. We do pretty good.
Yeah.
Just a lot. It's,
so you can check, you can check out our table, again, I want to encourage you, be the light as you walk out those doors. You never know, you could be that FedEx man to someone in your grocery store that you attend frequently, out at lunch. You never know, your waitress, who you can have effect on. And I don't know where we would have been if that Christian man hadn't been walking the Christian walk, being Christ-like. So I want to pray for you tonight as a church and then turn it over to Pastor. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for Port Crane Baptist Church here, or First Baptist Church of Port Crane. Lord, we thank you for all they've done for us and their prayers, their financial support, Lord. It's such a blessing to have this church here behind us and what you have called us to do. And we thank you so much for all our other churches that are behind us and individuals. And Lord, I pray today that this congregation will walk out of here tonight and be encouraged and be, you know what, I need to make some changes in my life, and I want to do that for you, Lord. Help me to speak to maybe my coworker or someone on the street that I walk by every day. Lord, help us to be bold. Help us to share the hope that we have.